to the Scottish. Good grief, that was awful. Okay, let's try that again. Okay, one, two, three.
Welcome
to the Scottish Watches podcast.
Hey, well done, folks.
Welcome everybody to the, I don't know if it's a world first, but it's certainly a first for us, a live recording of the Scottish Watches podcast. And believe it or not, it would appear we have more people here listening to us that aren't from Scotland than are from Scotland, considering we're in Scotland.
More live than actually listening to the podcast.
It's good to see every single one of our listeners, plus someone who doesn't listen to the show, standing in the corner, who just brought her husband along. Apparently it was like a surprise present while they were on holiday here from America. Others may disagree as to whether coming to see us is in any way a gift, but we are the gift that likes to give, so we shall see.
Like herpes.
like all good things like that. So we will start by saying who is actually properly mic'd up, which is the two of us as normal. Say hello, yep. Ricky.
Hello, Ricky.
And then we have Dave, who has hung on from the last podcast just because he was here and he's cheap.
Bad smell,
so we kept him in.
Welcome.
But we've also been joined by Posh Boy in the corner.
Yeah.
Where's this come from?
Hello, Adrian.
How are you?
He's getting abused.
How's the world of clickbait videos treating you this week?
Oh, it is. Shall we have a look at...
Yeah, have a look. Your latest video on Rolex and Watch Finder is now sitting at how many views?
59,000.
That's up about 2,500 since we set up this recording. So it's going well. Christmas is going to be good.
Your kids are
going to have new shoes on their feet.
He might be able to pay his arrears in his mortgage.
He's in Scotland now. He's not got arrears. He's sold up in London some great big house. He's living mortgage free and he's like buying new cars and watches and stuff. Although it should be noted that Dave, you don't own any Rolexes, do you?
What?
No, I didn't think so. I own...
What brand's that?
Some wee Swiss brand or a charity,
charity.
Ricky owns one. He owns a Batman and Adrian owns a Kermit. And according to the world of Tinternet, both of them are much poorer today than they were yesterday.
No, the Kermit's holding out.
Is Kermit holding out?
The Batman's tanking.
He always holds out. I miss Biggie. Never
I did notice that the one watch that is missing from Watchfinder's Rolex sale, I don't know if anybody else has had a look to see what they've not included from the Rolex sale in terms of is the Milgauss. So the Milgausses that Watchfinder have in stock, none of them are in the sale. So whether that tells you that watch is actually fairly priced for what it is, or maybe it's just somebody in the IT department forgot to tick a box.
Or it's just a shit watch.
It's just a shit.
It could be a possibility. It's not, though. I quite like it.
You're in paradise.
That's true. And I like this other thing that I'm wearing today, which I've now found a friend. Adrian, I think, likes it too.
Adrian's just posh and being polite. There's a subtle difference.
Anyway,
because it's funny.
We are joined, obviously, by a cast of thousands here at the SECC Hydro in Glasgow, in the main arena. I think it holds about 4,500. It does look quite bare with 12 people here, though, it has to be said. But we'll see how it goes. So say hello, everybody.
Hello.
No, that's hello. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, yes. You see, now you're getting the gist of this. Jesus. Okay, we will go. We'll do wristwatch checks first.
Is it pantomime time already?
Oh, no, it isn't.
Who thought?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yay!
Who thought this was a good idea?
I'm going to love this. This is right on my street, by the way.
It's a Rickon audience.
I mean, anyone's for a good audience. And even a poor audience, has to be said. Anyway, the wristwatch checks. Let's do that.
This is going to be really predictable.
Well, Adrian. No, it's not, because we're going to pick on somebody.
Oh. Are we?
We're going to pick on somebody.
Well, Adrian's going first.
Okay, Adrian, you were first.
You weren't here earlier. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing my sub. I've got it back from a service. I was going to sell it, but now I really like it again.
Is that because the price has changed overnight?
He was going to sell it, but then he did a video and he could pay the mortgage. He doesn't need to sell it.
Insider trading.
I like it. It's just my 1460M.
And that's on your Gekoa strap?
On my, Granato.
Your Granato. Good stuff. Okay, we're gonna pick on someone. So Logan, our roving reporter at Pitchside, is actually gonna pick someone.
He's just like Madeline as well. He did it to you last podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you give me the unless you use them yourself, I'm gonna steal them. So, right, Logan, pick someone to stick a microphone in front of, and that person's going to tell us what they're, who they are, their Instagram handle if they've got one, and what they're wearing. Go, Logan.
Go.
Okay.
My name is David. I'm the visitor from over in the States.
Okay. Hold on. Question. Question. Trump, good thing or bad thing?
Hang on. I'm going to enjoy this.
I'm a little afraid to say in front of my wife, but...
Plead the fifth. It's an American thing. No, no, apparently.
Scott's law.
I'm not in Congress. I can't plead the fifth.
It's okay. If you plead the fifth, I'll tweet at you when you're...
How about this? Trump is the lesser of two evils.
Oh,
that's a good answer.
So did I infer that there's a slight disagreement in the family, as somebody might have a whole different opinion?
Yes, I think okay, that would be fair.
So let's ask the, well, I don't know whether I should describe her yet as the intelligent one or not. It depends on her answer.
What was the gentleman wearing?
So
we'll come to that.
Mrs. Person from America, Trump, good thing or bad thing?
Bad thing.
Okay.
But is Hillary a better thing?
I'm not.
She's going to take the fifth on that.
Yeah, I'm not certain of that, but I just know that his politics are not in agreement with my lifestyle.
That's fine.
Excellent.
No one is correct going to answer. Accidentally die in their sleeps tonight. It's all good.
The long arm of the CIA can't reach into this part of Scotland, because bear in mind, for those that listened to the last podcast, we have a spy in the room.
Yep.
Because we are still at the Morris Grossman event.
And Morris?
So, Morris? Moritz?
Moritz Grossman.
Morris Lacroix and Morris Grossman. I always get
it. No, Moritz.
Moritz. Jeez. It's like San Moritz.
Oh. Is that the fake tan you use?
Anyway, so Robin is still here, so he's protecting us. So anyway, back to the wristwatch check. Logan. No,
you've not answered the question. He's not getting this, is he?
Did he give an answer?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. What are you actually wearing?
Tonight I'm wearing the a Rolex Air King, the reference 116-900, the newer one that many people dislike, and which makes me love it all the more.
Is that the one with all the fives on it?
It is the one with all the fives. So right now it's at 2507.
All right.
What are you wearing?
Good stuff.
I'm wearing a present.
Oh, nice.
Bought tonight?
No, it's a Tritium Vintage Reduced Seamaster Omega.
You could say Speedmaster.
Speedmaster.
Nice.
Excellent.
Now we're talking.
Good Handy stuff. Hint, Logan. Microphones go closer to the mouth.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. Try not to set it on fire either.
Good stuff. Right, so that is our first wristwatch. Our second, because Adrian gave one as well. Yes. So thank you for joining us all the way from... You flew in specially, obviously, from the West Coast.
We had nothing doing this weekend, so we came over just for the podcast.
Good.
Excellent. Good stuff.
That's what we like to hear.
Right, so news of the week. We've obviously given Watchfinder a bit of a kicking already. What does everybody actually think is going on there?
I think they are just...
Black Friday?
The Black Friday sale. Prices will start creeping back up again. That's it. And people say a bubble has burst. That would be the case if something was £10, went to 100 and now is 1. But it started at 10, went to 15, and now is at 12.
Right, okay.
So it's not quite the same thing.
Adrian.
Mr. Clickbait.
I genuinely believe it's the start of, I think bursting isn't quite right, but if someone titled a video slowly deflating, then that wouldn't really get any clicks.
Sounds like my life.
But I genuinely believe if someone like Watchfinder, a brand that is as big as them with their size of reputation, if they have to not only reduce the price of the watches that are supposed to be easily sold, but also push it very hard with advertising on the front page and email campaign.
And obviously...
There's obviously something happening where they're struggling to sell.
But Richemont, who own them, like to take stock back and destroy it. So they play around with stuff like that all the time.
But if it was a correction in the price with the price moving down and then perhaps plateauing there, I don't think they'd put that as a sale. I think that would just be them changing the price.
Yeah, but then it gives them the ability to put it back up again.
What, because it's a sale?
Yeah.
Yes, but then they wouldn't I couldn't imagine they'd go through the whole marketing push.
Yeah, but then the other question is, Richemont are leveraged, and are they leveraged, and are they reducing inventory?
Yeah,
it's nothing to do with Rolex, but that's an easy way to reduce inventory.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, though, I mean, Richemont billion, how, you know,
but they are there. Some divisions are way more leveraged than you think they are.
Oh no, absolutely. But the question
is, Watchfinder is.
Yeah, but just how much stock are Watchfinder actually holding that selling a few watches at 12 grand rather than 15 grand is going to make a difference in the cash flow of Richemont or indeed Watchfinder?
Who was it that bought all the Explorer 2s up recently?
So it's Watchfinder who bought something like 70 Explorer 2s.
Yeah.
So they can play with the market as much as they want.
Absolutely, yeah.
They've got the cat. It strikes me that it's more likely to be either it's just a sale.
Yeah.
It's just, we're having a sale. There's some, and some of the prices in relation to what
they're now down at normal prices.
Well, it's hardly normal, but they're certainly down. Or it's a bit of a Saudi Arabia tactic that, you know, as soon as the Americans start producing enough oil to be self-supportive, the Saudis drop the price, which means that extracting oil from shale in the States suddenly becomes disproportionately expensive, so they stop doing it. That actually, this is Richemont going, or Watchfinder's division going, actually, some of you wee watch retailers, we're going to give you a bit of a hard time because you've all followed us up in terms of sales, but we can now cut the prices and you guys can't. So we'll sell our stock. Your lot will still sit there and actually you'll go out of business or you'll not sell and you'll get all your business.
And that's why I think it's the start of something. If Watchfinder reduce their prices, then their prices are financially more competitive to Joe Bloggs' independent watch dealer. For him for Joe Bloggs to be competitive against someone like Watchfinder, who has more credibility and can offer a warranty, a stronger warranty, and a buyback policy that they have, Joe Bloggs is going to have to reduce his prices. So then across the board, all the prices will reduce, and Watchfinder will then, although the prices have reduced, will still be the more expensive platform. So I think across the board, it's all going to go down. It's not going to burst, certainly.
Well, where's it return to? If we're looking at the calendar, is it return to July prices or May prices?
I sold my Batman.
Did you know? I didn't know
that. I can't remember if it was 13 and a half or 40. I think it was probably about 13.
So was that the difference between a two-bedroom house and a three-bedroom house where you live?
It was. It's a bit of a sore subject because I feel that money, I was talking to another YouTuber last night about this. I feel like that money's just disappeared and I'm owed a watch. Despite the fact it's gone into the house.
You paid it into a joint bank account.
Yeah.
That was mistake number one.
It's gone.
You can sell that Grand Seiko for like £4.50 in a bank
account. I get a lot of people asking about that. I can't remember what my original point was. Oh, no, yeah, where the price has gone. The price is now below what I sold my Batman for. So I sold my Batman for, say, 12 and a half. A similar Batman.
£1,000 appreciation in the last 40 seconds. That's quite good.
Was it?
Yes, yeah,
it's 13 and a half.
That'd be even worse.
Yeah, he actually got something right.
He did.
I do actually listen. I know that I come across like I don't, but I genuinely do.
So after the first hour and a half, he starts to warm up. Is that what you're saying? Like a diesel generator?
Yeah, that's it.
I think it's an interesting time with Watchfinder. A company that shouldn't need to sell for cash flow, that shouldn't need to sell the hottest watches at a reduced rate for cash flow because they have this backing. They're also a very, very wealthy company. There's something weird going on, and I can't imagine. Regardless, if they are struggling, then everyone else is struggling, and then again, the market is gonna
Not
necessarily crash, but it is certainly going down.
I contacted them last night on the back of it going down, but didn't contact them from my Rick at Scottish Watches account because they don't like speaking to me.
Because it's blacklisted.
So I spoke to them from another email about two other non-Rolex watches, and I've asked them to bring them up to Glasgow. So hopefully nobody's listening. Actually, by the time this goes out, they'll maybe have been up and I've looked at them.
Yeah.
Just to see if I can actually get a meeting with somebody in Watchfinder, see if we can get an info. One of them's a Bremen, and one of them's a Breitling.
Okay.
So there you go.
My
thinking is as to whether we'll see if there's a problem, because if there is a problem, then I should be able to haggle hard on the prices of those two watches.
Not two watches necessarily known for holding their value.
Well, exactly. So they're already below what the retail would be. So I reckon if I go in there and say, right, give us another 500 or 600 quid off, because I've bought watches off of Watchfinder before, and I know where the position they'll haggle to without too much pushing. But if they're extra keen to sell these, then I suspect it reveals there is something more underlying going on than just we're having a Christmas sale. So we shall see.
I know a couple of people who work at Watchfinder in London, and they say it's absolutely dead in their stores. And again, if this is Watchfinder who are dead, then it must be. We've known across the board that it's
retail
dead.
Across the board in the last 3 weeks is in proper trouble. Yeah.
So, audience question: Watchfinder, good thing or bad thing? Hands up for good thing. Oh, question:
what is Watchfinder?
Does that include a VAT discount, like for New Yorkers like me?
So the only difficulty with recording you on there is the microphone can hear you, but I can't.
So he said he likes your hair.
Oh, okay, yeah, my hair's fine. I heard something about VAT, but I'm not sure what the question was.
I get the VAT discount.
So if you buy in the UK, then when you take it to the States, you'll get the VAT back.
But on pre-owned?
On pre-owned, yeah, you should get the VAT back.
It's still
as long as you can prove you've exported the watch from the UK, it does mean that depending where you are in the States, I think you then need to pay the local tax, possibly, when you import it, and it's one in, one out. But yeah, and the VAT is, whatever it is, 20% or whatever. So, yeah, there's a pretty decent... And with the strength of the dollar versus the pound at the moment, it's probably not a bad thing to be doing. Good. Right, so Watchfinder, good thing or bad thing?
Watchfinder
goods. No, there's lots of shaking heads.
They haven't sussed out that shaking heads and nodding heads doesn't work in a podcast.
Doesn't make good radio, folks.
We've got a camera.
We have.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, actually, Jonathan from Edinburgh Watch was on the phone earlier because he knew we were going to be discussing this.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I don't know what he's going to say, but here's 2 minutes of what he says injected into the show.
Okay.
Hello there. Thank you so much for inviting me to join today's podcast. So really interesting times with all the chat around the web and what we're hearing from YouTube and of course from the news from Watchfinder about their recent sale. And I thought it'd just be interesting just to get an independent view here at Edinburgh Watch Company by means of what do I think, what does this mean to me, what changes am I going to make, and potentially what would I be suggesting to our sort of Scottish watch community. So I guess first of all, this has just been a matter of waiting. Something had to happen at some time. We've seen, of course, what's been going on across in China. We've got Brexit. We've got an election coming along. And we've got a lot of watches out there in the market that are very, very highly priced. So, of course, with Watchfinder, as we know, they have very much set the market. They've driven the prices up over the last couple of years. They're renowned for that, but they're an incredibly successful business. And you know, customers from around the world are buying their watches. However, I'm not quite sure where this has stemmed from, but I'd imagine it's part of a strategy that's looking at pre-Christmas, pre-Black Friday. What do we do? Watchfinder have got, you know, a massive stock of sports watches and probably a lot more than we know from what we actually see on the net. And they've decided we need to generate some excitement in this lead up to Christmas, and we'll do that by having a sale. And as we can see, from what you can see on Watchfinder, prices on some of these key sports watches have come down massively. And I think as I look today, they have sold many of those and this sale is going to stop. But of course, it's interesting for us all. We're seeing a change. Prices are coming down. I've seen this already weeks ago, a slight softening in the market in some of the watches likes of the Batman. And I already had taken note of that and sort of amended my prices just to show that we were competitive. So I guess there are many other independents across the UK and across in Europe as well on Chrono 24 that will be watching what's going on, I think, with interest. I think the key thing for me, I'm not worried about it. I think this is very much a major retailer that's realigning their prices. And I think others will take note of it by means of how does it impact me? What am I going to do differently? Well, we're still very much going to be out there buying watches. But I think perhaps with a little bit more caution now, a little bit less bullish, because I've got to consider, are we buying these right? And of course, do we price them right again? For those of our viewers, our Scottish Watches community, who've got these sports watches, I would be saying, don't panic. You've bought a fantastic watch. Enjoy the watch. Hang on to the watch. Don't suddenly go and try and sell it. I think things will stabilize and prices might come down a little bit less. And it'll be your chance, you know, to go and get a great watch. But it comes back to everything. When you're choosing a watch, it's all about the dealer. It's about selecting the right dealer with the right watch, with the right provenance, and then, you know, go and make your decision. So that's it from me. Still really, really keen buyers of these watches. We'll, you know, have as many of these beautiful sports watches as we can. And I think it's really interesting times. But that's my take on it. Take care. Bye-bye.
So some Scottish watch news.
Anodyne?
No, Swatch. So Swatch in their infinite wisdom have now pushed out this Scottish cities watch thing officially. And in their infinite wisdom, do you know what they've done?
Nope.
They've put Edinburgh on the watch.
We talked about this months ago.
Yeah, I know we talked about it, but it's now actually available.
There's a gentleman over there who has one.
It's now being marketed out properly.
Oh, St Andrews Day, they've done it. Yeah, they've stuck the Edinburgh watch thing on the website for 24 hours.
Yeah, so.
They've been doing this through the year, though, with likes of. On Bastille Day, they put the Louvre watch on. And in Swiss National Day, they put all the Canton watches, which were normally only available
on the French day. They don't just put a picture of everybody surrendering, no?
They put a lump of cheese.
Okay.
Yeah. Various
been
hands.
Handed a swatch.
And,
greetings from Edinburgh.
Oh, who bought that? Who's just brought it in? All right, okay.
Did we get this gentleman's name?
So you're actually checking of the watches you've just bought as to whether you're going to be able to claim the VAT back on them. Right, so this is actually a consult. You didn't tell us this was an actual consultation.
Yeah, I've got
professional qualifications for this. I have to now charge you.
I'm thinking about running back to the Swatch store and get my VAT.
I would go and get. I would make hold sure
on, hold on.
VAT
Are
receipt.
We going to be doing a live unboxing?
Oh, there we go. Let's unbox somebody else's watch.
Come on over.
No, don't let him do it. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on over. Come on.
Live unboxing. This is a radio unboxing. This is what Marconi was thinking of.
That's another thing we invented.
What? The radio.
The radio. Right, you want to be standing in front of the camera, just about
introduce
here.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chi.
Say that again with a mic in front of you this time.
Oh, sorry. Hi, I'm
Chi. No, never let the guest hold the microphone.
That's a bad
first rule of any journalism.
Bad
never
idea.
Give the guy the mic because they never...
I'll give this back. Don't worry about it.
You're going anyway to unbox it. So pass the mic back.
I'll hold the mic. Okay.
So check, what's your Instagram handle? Does folk know your Instagram?
Picture this watch. This is the Edinburgh Swatch.
It's got Nessie on it. So nothing like a bit of...
You know, I just bought this one today, too.
What's this? It's the Citizen.
It's the UK version of the...
Where did you get this?
Ramier. Nice. The Citizen.
The Ramier.
Yeah. Where did you buy it?
Yeah, the sticker's still back here.
Where in Scotland did you buy it?
Along the road.
Oh, yeah. You didn't buy it from James Porter and Son?
No, he's not. He literally, I believe you flew up today and you're flying back tonight.
I'm flying back. I flew in today just for this event.
Excellent.
And I'm flying back tonight.
Super. Good
stuff.
Good.
See, that's commitment.
That's quite cool. See, you were over here on holiday and you thought you'd pop along. This boy actually put effort in. Call yourselves committed.
That's the tough. Yeah, the blue one is the UK.
That's the one that Martin from Martin's of Glasgow is
there.
We're
on
his best watch.
Thank you very much.
You do realise that it's like in the same way as Trump now, you can claim to be Scottish. seems like a good way to increase the population.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
That's really cool.
Awesome.
Where were we? Because I can't remember. Oh, we're talking about Swatch. So the other thing Swatch have done today is Hodinkee.
They've done Hodinkee.
That's going to be an unfortunate child.
Yeah. Can you imagine what that child looks like?
Your fly magic.
can you imagine if Swatch like did an Aaron Sweater version of a System 51, like the Ben Clymer Swatch with like
careful
one of these.
Here. You don't want to get sued. delicately walk here.
Why? Is Ben known to be particularly litigious?
No, but you will say something that will start the camera
rolling. So Swatch Hodinkee have got another. It's not quite a limited production. It's not numbered limited edition.
No,
and you've already
production.
Bought one or two. How many have you bought?
Yes.
flipper. Anybody else?
Have I ever flipped a watch?
To be fair, he hasn't. Anybody? Actually, no, that's not true. You tried to flip a watch to me once.
Yeah, you tried to sell the Alaska Project.
Yeah. Well, you tried to sell the Alaska Project.
Is it flipping if you've got more than one?
You had two of them.
Exactly.
So
you're not flipping if you've got two. Because technically someone says you've sold
anybody
them,
else in here already
it.
Bought the Hodinkee limited edition Swatch today that's come out? Yes. Cheese bought one. Anyone else? No, there we go. Well,
you have to break the words up because that sounded like cheese. Cheese bought one.
Cheese bought one.
Drinking sandwiches.
Cheese has bought one. Right, okay. So, Dave, tell us about this limited edition Houdinki, because it has some stuff. Although it's System 51, it actually has more than 51 bits.
Yeah, so it's the first of the regular. So obviously with the Fly Magic, we know that that was the first Swatch that they kind of integrated the silicon technology from, effectively from Omega, into the Swatch watch line. And this is the first of the plastic, if you want to call it, true Swatch watches. Mm-hmm. And the new gent's a larger size, new gent, full plastic case, plastic strap, but it's the first to be anti-magnetic. So it's a System 51 with the Nivacrone spring in it. So, you know, it's they've obviously pulled a bit of a fast one in terms of they've managed to actually be the first. I think you're the first to have a Swatch watch, a regular Swatch watch out there with this spring in it. So it's an interesting concept, though. I mean, they're pushing it at, what, $175, something like that. Yeah. So obviously that's got a healthy Houdinki tax on it, as you would expect. But
45%.
Probably. I don't know. I'm reckoning it's going to be what? So what's that? That's give or take 150 UK?
Yeah, so they'll make...
It's probably going to be a 125, 135 retail watch, I would guess, when it hits regular Swatch in the stores. Yeah. So you're paying a, what, £20 premium over a regular... System 51's run from, what, 80 to 110, something like that. So, it's quite a lot. It's a lot of technology, to be honest. You know, having an anti-magnetic watch at 100-odd bucks is... They're flexing their corporate muscle on that one, that's for sure. You know, there's still plenty of other brands with very premium watches that don't have any of that technology in them. So, you know.
Including Tag.
Well, no, they do. It just doesn't stick. it just falls off.
Other stuff this week beyond Swatch. Have any of you caught up with this fashion law stuff that Rolex have been up to?
Yeah. That smells of shit.
It's a bit of an odd one because Rolex have been at this somewhere else as well, because they've also had a go at strap code. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we'll put this in the show notes. So Strapcode have changed their Oyster.
Yeah, we talked about that one ages ago as well.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about it with Strapcode. Strapcode were one of the last ones. They were still advertising as Oyster and Jubilee, which they've now changed to, I think they've changed it to J. Louis and O. Boyer or something like that, which is very strange.
Yeah, so what Rolex are saying is that if you modify a watch...
This is the fashion law. This is the fashion thing, Fournier.
If you modify a watch and then try and sell it as a Rolex watch, then it's counterfeit and they're going to sue you, which is shit because you can buy a Ferrari and modify it and put parts on it and still sell it as a Ferrari.
So as I understand it, am I right in saying the case is still ongoing or has it actually been settled that these guys have been...
Too long, didn't read.
It was quite a long article.
So is this the stuff like the Bamford guys?
Yeah. Unless it's licensed and they don't license anything.
Yeah.
Effectively, you are selling counterfeit product, in their opinion.
So there's a case ongoing now. I think it's because...
If they win that, that's got big implications, not just for watches, for anything luxury. You look at brands like Goyard, and there's a whole premium industry of people who custom paint Goyard bags and wallets and add all artwork and paintwork onto them and effectively then resell them with their artwork on them. Yeah. You know, so effectively that is the same precedent then, isn't it? You know,
no point
or as
you watches.
Say, even, you know... I don't know, these high-end tuning companies that buy Porsches and modify them, or buy Range Rovers, and so what is the difference? There really isn't any.
And the whole point of watches is they're not supposed to be... It's a different kind of intellectual property. You cannot patent various aspects of a watch because it's considered a tool, and you're not allowed to do that with tools.
Yeah, it's a tool and or it's in common use.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. But so it is quite a big case. I think they seem to have taken against these guys in particular because of what they're doing to the Rolex watches, which is quite garish colours, which that's
fine.
Have
you seen some of the Daytonas with leopard print?
Oh, absolutely. Rolex are just as guilty as anybody else, but it is their watch to do with as they please. So it will be interesting to see how this flushes out. I'll stick this in the show notes. Because other company, well, yeah, probably.
Okay.
Because have you guys come across a company called Second? We've spoken about these a long time ago.
Yeah, I met them.
You met them?
Met
French
the
guy.
He
sticks like little Millennium Falcons on Zenith
really
watches and stuff.
Guy.
It's very, very cool stuff.
Yeah.
But effectively, he's reselling.
Cool.
You know.
Since the
Sorry?
Cool.
Ah, it is. No, he does some good stuff.
Two things upset me there. He said it was cool, which it's not, and you used the word cool.
Am I not allowed? Is it patented? Have I got to license the word cool from you? Is that the rules?
Yeah.
Have I ever said cool? If I say cool, punch me.
Okay, that's fine. Cool.
Get the leaf.
For anyone that wasn't here earlier,
this is the leaf.
This
of
is
destiny.
The paddle. Every time Rick steps out of line, this happens. Okay.
Every time I say or
Yeah.
This is how the sausages are made, folks. So Second are a cool company, whether Dave appreciates it or not. But again, the number of businesses that are doing, you know, taking branded watches, doing something with them, reselling them, and they're clearly, you know, Seikos or Seikios or Rolexes. Or,
I mean, let's be honest, Bamford's made a successful business out of doing it.
Yeah.
It probably. Well, I mean, actually, you know, if you look at someone like, you know, Johnny, King Nerd.
Yeah.
You know, who does all the kind of real fine high end
and the
engraving.
Scottish guy who does the
so effectively they're fair game then as well.
So it'll be interesting to see how this all washes out. I suspect it won't be pleasant if it washes out in Rolex's favour. I can't.
But the thing is, remember, you know, if they go after someone that's relatively speaking small fry, let's be honest, the legal system isn't exactly designed to deliver justice. No. It's designed to deliver who's got a bigger wallet.
Yeah, what LaCalifornia
especially when it comes to IP,
because
the judges don't care. It's the companies playing with money, that's all it is.
LaCalifornia need to move to Scotland in order to be protected under Scots law.
Yeah.
And that'd be fine.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. Scots law, just we can do what we like.
Just Scots is better. That's why Adrian's here.
Yeah.
So you see the cases he's got down south.
Chasing them all over the place.
Hey, am I supposed to pick another random person?
Pick a random person, do a wrist check with them.
Do a wrist check. Do you know what? I'm going to pick the gentleman standing right next to me because I believe he's maybe...
Try and get his name as well.
Who are you and what are you wearing?
My name is Marcos and I'm wearing the Grand Seiko SBGN005.
Good man.
Said it wrong.
He said it right.
It's Seiko.
Seiko.
Not Seikio.
No. Seikio.
Not Seiko.
It's fine.
And would you happen to have an Instagram account?
Yes, it's the Watch Cults. The Watch Cults.
Good.
I'm not repeating that.
Jesus says no.
Jesus says no.
Yep. Okay, so have you got anybody getting any questions?
Well, thanks for coming.
An audience with nobody.
And I had one question, which was you were mentioning.
You're not allowed
about
to
this.
Ask questions. You're not getting paid.
Yeah, go on then.
How much of this Rolex deflation in price is an overall watch market sort of dropping?
Because of Hong Kong and Brexit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Probably quite a lot. Everyone's
that's
slow.
A major influence.
It's not just Rolex, it's slow.
Yeah. I think all the other brands have been feeling it for a lot longer than Rolex. I think Rolex is such a powerful brand that they will be the last to fall. And Watchfinder have been doing sales on random brands like Breitling and Bremont just continuously. I think the fact that it's Rolex's turn now kind of highlights how bad the industry is in, how bad a state the industry's in. And also it's Rolex, everyone just talks about Rolex. If there was a sale on Omega, no one would really care because it's just Omega.
I think we kind of saw it coming though. It had to happen at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was bound to happen and it's happening. That's what I feel.
Small wager?
I'd put a watch on
interesting
it.
To consider what you're saying, Adrian, because I'm not sure, like maybe in the States it's already hit with the big retailers there. Steven turned me on to Lang's.
Did he turn you on?
I think
just a wee bit, as you say here.
Your just a wee bit left.
And so there was on my top five of next watches was a Master Compressor 2.
Yes,
nice. They have one just back in the case here at Lang's from JLC. You take a look at the pricing over at this in the States at Crown and Caliber. The number is still quite high over here. So I'm wondering if some of these big ones are more affected. Your Crown and Calibers, your Watch Finders, Watch Box, versus the small ones that don't have, to Rick's point, the giant inventory that they're exposed to, and what effect that might have. You can afford to hold on to a bit of inventory, but if you have an entire vault,
but
and
also
you need
the
to clear some of that
well.
Out, I'm wondering what that might look like.
The overheads for someone like Bob's Watches, Watch Finder. Watch Box. I can imagine the overheads are huge, and that'd be one of the reasons why they have higher prices. So I can imagine that they're the guys who, rather than having to let people go, reduce their industry.
Starting to have those big sales right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, yeah, to really pull that cash in.
So I need to know when the big sales is going to be at Ling so I can take that JLC home.
20% tax back.
A question, seeing as you are visiting from the States, to what extent is haggling a culture within dealing with these big watch companies? Like, to what extent would you expect a Bob's Watches or Crown & Caliber to be able to be haggled down from the price it's advertised?
It's interesting that Watchbox will allow you to throw a price at them. Crown & Caliber will not.
Really?
However, Topper, who I've bought a number of pieces through, outside of, say, some of the limited editions that they've released, the Zodiacs and so on and so forth, but they're used pieces. Granted, I've bought a number of pieces from them, so they treat me fairly. They seem more open to moving than the big ones do. Crown & Caliber, actually, they have been posting some fairly sizable sales. HQ Milton, big Rolex. I'm not a big Rolex guy myself. I just happen to be wearing one because it travels well. But
do the other ones break when you travel?
They tend to be a little bit more delicate.
Fair enough.
Like Rick's constitution.
Constipation?
Guy, leave me alone. Right, okay, so let's move on a little bit. Adrian.
Uh-oh.
When are you doing your Archer Luxury video?
So he's going to Singapore.
Is he? That's a surprise. He's never been there before, has he?
I had a chat with him last night.
When you say you had a chat with Archer Luxury, I can't imagine speaking to Paul about anything can be described as a chat.
I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but he's actually a really, really nice chap.
That's not what you told us 6 months ago.
You've seen the WhatsApp messages.
But he's going to Singapore. We were going to do it next week, but now he's going to Singapore. I think the first week of December we're aiming for, but then we're off to JLC.
Romantic trip away to Switzerland.
Yeah, for two. And so do we expect that now that Paul's got rid of all of his Rolexes and is now Patek boy, and that you're known as Rolex boy, that this is going to be the ultimate clickbait video of Patek v Rolex, just so that Archie can get all the subscribers and the super chats that he wants?
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take my 10%. Thank you very much. I've got nothing else to talk about.
You've got an absolute stack of paper in front of you.
I have. No, that's actually a contract that I need to deal with later on. It's nothing to do with this. Just happens to go with that paper.
Are you selling your organs again?
I've got to pay for these watches somehow.
Well, that's a good point.
We didn't actually do
a proper wristwatch check, so.
This looks interesting.
It's a Seikyo Paddy Diver. Especially, I know, Dave, I know. I've just been good to you. It's Christmas. Got that a year ago. It's nice. That's about it. Right.
Never worked in retail. nice love.
It's nice.
Just buy it. That dial is incredible.
That is the same dial that is in the red Grand Seiko. It's the same filament wave.
The 269.
Yep.
Wogan. Have you got your UV torch on you? Have you not?
No.
I
don't have the blinding one either.
Has anyone got a wee loom torch with them? Why? Other than their mobile phone. Well, Ricky claims that this watch has the best
loom
in the business.
Oh, look, here's a torch.
Ricky has the best loom in the business. I, of course, have the Panerai with
right,
me.
Right, go charge it up.
I wish to challenge this.
Him up.
And then we're going to have a vote.
Right, so we'll hold it there for 10, 9, 8,
Loom Wars
7,
live.
6, 5, 4, Rolex, 3, 2, 1.
Japan versus somewhere else.
Who wins?
Yeah, the Seiko by far. Yeah.
Let me see. I've not
How long
seen.
Will it last?
Well, that'll last 12 hours on will the Panerai, yeah.
The last 12 hours, Rick?
Yeah.
It's not what your wife said.
Only thing in my life that does.
Every time.
So
that's a cool watch. I like that.
Well, actually, that's your charge for the evening. Let's see whose watch has still got charged by the end of the night.
Yeah, your watch is actually sitting near the light, though.
Oh, come on.
Go put it. Right, okay, we'll put the watches somewhere else.
Put them in a pocket. In your pocket.
No, I don't trust you. Give them over here.
No, I'm not giving you my watch.
Right, they're both going here. They're both going here. Right,
and in 10 minutes' time, we'll see whose is still.
End of the night, 10 minutes.
Yeah,
but
that'll be me.
Thing.
I'm going home after this. I'm not staying around. anyway, right, so, and then, of course, you want to ask what I'm wearing.
I really don't want to know about this again.
Right, okay, we're going to do this again.
Actually, can we pass this watch
around
the room?
Yes, we can. I also want to charge the loom on this.
So, the trick of this is we are judging.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're judging
so
Rick.
So, this is a watch that has been sent to me to trial out.
Here's the
from
pitch.
A company called Horage. And it's titanium. It's an in-house movement. It is their own movement. It's about, I want to say it's about 3.5 grand's worth. Pass it round.
See, this is what I don't understand: is how they can have an in-house moon at $3,500 for.
I might be wrong. Maybe it's $10,000.
Well, you just read the price.
No, I think it is about $3,500. I don't think it's quite. There is a limited edition version. I have to say, This is cheaper than limited. I have enjoyed wearing it. It is full titanium. It's got quite a cool clasp on it. The bracelet is wide space, so it doesn't pinch the hairs on your arm.
It is a good looking watch.
What? I think it's good looking. What? Adrian likes it.
I thought
it.
You'd taste.
See, me and Adrian. See, Adrian. Adrian's got a bigger channel than us, so the fact that he likes it, that balances it out.
Breitling won't even talk to him.
Right, pass it on round to
now
Logan.
I won't talk to Breitling.
Pass it quickly around the room and the microphone and give us 10 seconds initial
Logan,
impression.
Initial thoughts.
10 seconds. Hold the microphone to your mouth.
I don't like integrated bracelets.
Okay, pass it round.
Pass it round. Next.
That's quite cool. How much is this?
I think it's about 3.5.
Yeah, okay.
So quite good. Next. Consider price no option.
No. $3,500.
Yes or no? Quickly.
Interesting bezel, but no.
No. Okay, no. Right. Next up. Yes or no?
I'm Stephen at Watcherama. No.
Okay. Next up. Jake. It's amazing how wrong people can be.
Is this titanium?
Yes. Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay, right, pass the chat behind you. Introduce yourself.
Alex. It's a no.
Oh, dear. That's it. Our sales agreement with Horace is disappearing. At least it doesn't divide opinion.
So you were born in England, weren't you?
No.
Were you not born in England?
No.
I'm sure you told us a story.
No. I was born in England.
Yes.
No, I've never said I was born in England.
Are you sure about that?
Positive. I was born in Edinburgh.
Are you sure about
which
that?
Which is the same.
Technically.
I think the story I told English. Was that I was born in Edinburgh, which
right.
is the same.
Same thing. He was born in England, but all the Scottish people and American people, not so keen on it.
So it's an English watch, a very English watch.
Very English watch.
The dials.
The dial's an unusual dial.
Do you feel like you're part of a secret club?
I don't like the dial. No. It doesn't have that special.
It's not got that secret club thing. I like the colour that's on the dial with the
but
power.
I've been following them on Instagram. They actually have a good Instagram account.
They're very interactive. So follow them at Horridge on Instagram. And
they have some
probably don't
watches.
Hashtag us in your comments.
The thing is, I've seen some of the other watches and they're really nice.
Do you like some of the other ones?
Yeah.
See,
I'm
not actually a big fan of
the
other
mean,
ones.
It's not the brand, it's just this particular watch.
No, I'm not a big fan of the other ones that do. I particularly like this one and the limited edition version of this. They have a tourbillon coming out next year, which, to coin a phrase, is to be a game changer in the Swiss watch industry. In that I think
Are they going to disrupt the industry?
They're going to disrupt the industry.
Fantastic.
So... I think is their target for next year.
Honestly, is this a $3,500 watch with push pins?
It is push pins limited.
Have you heard of
screws.
A 5711?
I have.
Yeah, push pins.
I still don't like it.
Well, seeing as we're at a Red Bar event,
yes,
and we've got Mr. Red Bar
here,
and we've got some international folks, is it safe to tell people that Red Bar are going to be doing some charity stuff in the next month or so? Is that under wraps?
This is the thing that we're talking about, various people at different Red Bars that we're maybe going to get together to do something.
So we're doing a kind of art-based thing. So we've got, I think there's 5 or 6 different kind of guys who are broadly confirmed, but we'll announce them at a later date, who are all going to get together. They all do watch-based art, just from a different slant. Mm-hmm. It's looking like it could potentially be a bit international now, so cool. We've got... 3 or 4 from the UK that are certainly up for it, and we'll get a couple from the other side of the Atlantic or the pond looking to come over to do it as well. So
we call it a wall now.
A wall?
The wall.
Oh, no, we're going east and west. East, right. East-west, okay. It's okay. North-south, but they're not so keen on.
Okay, for the moment.
Listen, we give Trump all his inspiration with Hadrian's Wall, so we have no problem with building walls between countries.
And we're good at that, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, should be quite interesting. It'll be something a bit different. Obviously, you know, it's always trying to find something that's different to engage kind of the guys and the members and stuff, because obviously a lot of it, you know, the regular meetups everyone enjoys, because that's actually a very social thing. It's actually just, to be honest, meeting a load of your friends at the pub and having a drink and some food and having a laugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, and, you know, you can do events with boutiques and you can go and look at their new collections and stuff, and that's great and it's fine, and every year there's new stuff, but... it can be quite formulaic at times, and, you know, it can get quite commercial, which is not what we're really about. But I think there's so many other people that are into this hobby that have different takes on it, you know, and they kind of express themselves and what they like about watches. You know, you guys do the podcast, you do your YouTube, but there's lots of other ways that people kind of express themselves, and you know, that art stuff, there's so much of it out there, and some of it's actually genuinely really good. You know, there's the obvious photography part of it, where everyone loves to try and better themselves with the next pocket shot or the whatever, but there's a lot of people who have done some quite interesting stuff, so it should be a little bit different than to do that as well. To kind of mute to your other point, yeah, that's something, you know, obviously one thing that we try and do is that at the end of the day, you know, we're all a bunch of idiots that spend too much money on watches, frankly.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, you're an idiot that spends not enough watches.
Exactly.
There we go. Okay. Exactly. Okay, we're just all idiots.
Yes.
Okay, we'll leave it there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are all lucky. You know, we're messing about on a Thursday night talking crap about watches, and, you know, we're at the fortunate end of the spectrum, let's put it like that. And,
yeah,
you know, we do try and do something every year just to kind of really genuinely just give something back. You know, it might not be a lot, but it's just a recognition of the fact that actually this is getting away with it, for want of a better word, you know. And, you know, I think we all know there are too many people into watches that just, it is the be all and end all, and it's the end of the world when they don't get the Rolex they want, or they scratch a watch, or, you know, somebody tells them their watch, frankly, like your watch, isn't very good. But, you know...
Are you talking about my Panerai or the Horage?
Take your pick.
Hold on, let's... Do we have
is that the old maxim of the sum is greater than... What is it? The total is greater than the sum of its parts?
Yeah. What do we think?
I win. Yep.
Do you have to put them in that
over your eyes? See? No, right over your eyes.
I can't see shit. Yeah.
Okay, so we're saying the Seiko is the winner. There you go.
That wasn't that one.
Back to Florence. So
basically, that was a long way around the answer on the question we knew the answer to already.
Yes.
So, but what we were talking about was for a future auction, I think, for Red Bar.
Yeah, so basically,
we were going to auction off appearing on this show. Is that right?
Was
that
allegedly, that's, yeah. So, I mean, I know that, you know, we've collected a few things as time's gone by. There's various members have given things and donated things, and some brands have given us some stuff. And the plan is to have a bit of a, I don't know, end of year blowout party, come have a bit of a laugh and have an auction at it, you know. Allegedly, we thought that maybe you could compare it, but in hindsight, that's maybe not a good idea, because the auctioneer's not meant to buy everything.
Rather than auctioning it off an appearance on this show, we could actually just auction off the show and then just like
give it away.
Well, we get to episode 100 and we're done anyway.
As soon as Tim Mossel comes on the show, we're finished. Okay,
complete.
That's it. As soon as we get Tim on, we interview Tim, we find out all about him, and then we
sell to Richemont.
Sell to Richemont, walk away. Yeah. That sounds like a good plan. I'm happy with that.
Sounds good to me. Now, Red Bar have obviously done a lot for charity. They did the G-Shock thing, the auction.
We've got something that's nearly there for next year, but not at a point where something we can talk about. But obviously, as you say, we did something with G-Shock last year. Was it last year?
This year, earlier this year.
Yeah, you're right. Feels like a lifetime ago, but yeah, you're right, earlier this year, where we had a one-on-one piece commissioned, actually technically one of three, but each of them were unique, so one of one stroke one of a set of three. The G-Shock kept one for their museum. One of them they used for another purpose, and they kindly donated one to us and allowed us to auction it, and kindly also provided all the infrastructure, IT hosting, to allow us to do a fair and square auction, and kept it impartial. And, you know, we got an extremely generous bid for it from someone. Interestingly, someone whose husband is very into watches, but the lady in question that won it wasn't massively into watches, but was massively into Japanese art.
All right,
and the particular artist that had actually done this was an artist that she had a passion for and owned quite a lot of his work, and was actually, funnily enough, by coincidence, going out to Japan later earlier this year,
right?
But after the auction, to visit this guy's studio, which, and it all kind of coincided. But, you know, she very generously paid what would be described as it would classify itself into, if we're talking in multiples, it would be up there in the one watch category where you know, it multiplied itself rather conveniently.
Although probably not now that G-Shock are producing titanium watches of 1500 quid.
That I might have bought.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that in my next question. The camouflage one.
Yes. I mean, it's 80 quid more than the not camouflage one. So frankly, I'm going on the basis that when I take it in the house, I'll not get asked how much it is because she'll not see it.
No, it's a different one.
That's the theory.
You move quickly enough.
Or just stand very, very still.
Very still. No, I'm not here. And just talking about things.
Frankly, I agree with you. I really like it, but it is a frankly, for want of a better phrase,
they totally Bremonted it.
Why do you think it's that expensive? I mean, it's titanium, which, okay, is a harder material to work with, but it's not $1,000 harder.
It's not as expensive, again, as you think. So the silver one and the gold one,
yeah,
I think, are both UK 500-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. But when they first announced it, if you remember, there was three. There was the black DLC coated Porter one. It was £1,200 when it first came out. It was £12 as the limited one. The Thai one's a bit rich.
Yeah.
If they stuck it at about a K, it would still have been a bit rich, but it would probably have been in or about what you might have half expected it to be. But
do you think they might watch finder it?
I don't know. You know, it's. I think they've gone a bit heavy. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised. It'll either not sell, and it will remarkably not be £1,400 in about a month's time, at which point I'll be crying again.
Yeah.
Won't be the first time. Or they'll just stick it out. Uh-huh. But I would guess, like the original steels, they wouldn't have made that many.
We actually had a very good review on the website, two people disagreeing about what the strategy was from Seiko. One of which was just saying it was ridiculous. That was Gigi. The other one is Frederick, who's DS_overseas.
Yeah.
And his argument was basically that G-Shock recognised...
You
said
Seiko
earlier, didn't
you?
I did.
I admitted it.
I did.
Never wouldn't admit to you.
No, of course not. Don't never admit to him anything. He just uses it against you. He just goes in a big
ball. Just rewind slightly, amplify, slow down.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be listening to you'll use it against him. And I won't. Said earlier.
He hasn't fathered me.
Shared custody of the evidence.
Anyway, so his argument was that G-Shock are recognising that they've also got competition with smartwatches, because fundamentally the G-Shock's not a smartwatch. And so actually what they're needing to do and what they're starting to do is try and make G-Shock's luxury purchases by pushing the price, the marketing, the limited edition nature, so that in 5-10 years' time, the idea of a £70 G-Shock is no longer necessary, because you'll be able to get Apple Watches for £150. But your G-Shock will now be in a luxury market space selling for £1,000, £2,000, £3,000. And that keeps them in business. It was an interesting argument. You can check that out on the website to see if you agree or disagree.
Potentially, but then, you know, I think a lot of folk either conveniently forget or actually don't know. Remember, G-Shock have gone up to nearly £10,000.
Yes.
For quite a few years now. You know, the MRG range literally runs from two and a half to £10,000.
Yeah, there's some very expensive ones in that range.
MRTs are all typically...
MRTs?
Yep. They are literally MRT. Yeah, I think they are typically £1,500 to £3,000.
Yeah.
So you know they have been tiered for a long time, and these ones are in that weird bit where they're kind of using a lot of the technology from their better watches, or their more expensive watches, should we say, but actually using the heritage of that classic square 5,000-5,600 series, which is to be fair, is the shape that everyone wants. That is their...
No, they want the Casio.
Well, there is that as well. Eh? Apparently, is one of their best... The black Casio is up there with one of their best-selling by-volume models this year.
And I think we actually need to... Despite the fact we didn't invent it, there's no doubt we popularised calling it a Casio.
Yes.
So I think we need to be sending letters to them and getting some freebies for Christmas giveaways or something. So, Dave, that's your
Dave.
Job. Get it sorted.
Get it done.
While we're on Dave's watch purchasing habits... Quick question, limited edition, Omega, briefcase, 007, good thing or bad thing? Just released today, I think, as we're recording this.
In the interest of maintaining my relationship with my favourite brand, beautiful, off the record.
You going to buy one?
Yeah, basically no.
No.
Basically no.
Is it the same? I've seen the pictures. Is the steel watch the same as the individual one?
So, yeah.
So how are you dealing with that limited edition-wise? Because the original steel was... limited to 7,007? Is it just that this contains numbers 1 to...
I would guess what they've done, and they've done it before, is that they'll have done whatever it is, it's 15 or 25 or 50 of the cases,
right.
And they'll have kept...
But they can't have kept sequential numbers, because I know all you Omega collectors have all gone in, and I want number 11, and I want number 25, and I want number 8.
Well, the mistake you made there is you confuse folk that collect Omegas with people with taste, and none of us have bought that watch. Right, but no, they'll have held back a given set of numbers, mm-hmm. and they'll matching the number will match the gold piece and the, cool. the case number. They did the same with the full moon sets.
You what's know, that limited edition run of? Do you know?
I don't actually know. To be honest, I vaguely looked at the picture and went, when you prefer the case and the suitcase more than you prefer the content, you know that it's not a good day.
Yeah.
It's not a, that's a, it's a very, that, there's everything wrong about that watch.
Have you been in to see the new Omega store, Buchanan Street?
Yes, it's cool actually. I think that's one of the, there's only two or three in the world so far on that new concept.
Yeah. They're taking it to Regent Street next, that's, then.
Yeah, that's the first, the Regent Street one was meant to be being done right now. It was meant to have shut at the back end of September and be reopening middle of December, but they actually pushed it back till next year. So the Glasgow one is the kind of test one for the UK. I think it's the first in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Swiss one up at the new museum has been done, and that one's one of the, I think it's the first in the UK, if not second in Europe.
Right.
Have you been in yet?
Concept, though. I have not. I will maybe pay a visit tomorrow. We are supposed to be going to something. There's been some chat on Instagram. I don't understand all the names that are being said, but there's apparently a thing on the 5th. It's allegedly we're going to.
But the 5th is there. I think their official opening is on the 5th. Okay. And from what I heard is...
big wigs are coming.
Yeah, but I think it definitely got a bit of mine's bigger than yours, because I think a whole load of the guys from Watch of Switzerland group, because obviously that one is a Watch of Switzerland franchise, a whole lot of them, including Mr. Duffy, decided that they were going to come to show off their new shop. And then when the upper management at Omega heard this, they decided that they had to match them at least one for one, which they did. So then I think they had 50 places for customers to come, and I think that suddenly became 5 customers, because it is literally going to be 5 customers and 850 staff.
Lots of podcasting will be done.
Yep, that's fine. Let's get that.
Well, all the management from the UK are there, I know that much.
Brian Duffy, come in, your time is up.
Yes.
You'll good see stuff. Him and go, I know him from the past, I'm out of here.
I know him. We shared a cell together in Bar L. Yeah. Good.
Good stuff.
Well, I think that just about rounds off another ep.
One final audience participation, if we can get Logan with the mic. Logan with the mic. Right, one final question for everybody. Quickly go round, and it's a simple one-word answer. Rick or Ricky?
Ricky.
Oh!
Rick.
Yeah!
Oh, one each.
Ricky.
How is it sitting in that fence up there?
Rick.
Oh,
Rick.
Dickie.
You misheard.
Excellent.
When is going to be the first transcontinental
the
meetup? And where, with 60% of the cabal over here?
Who knows? There is a plan for a joint monthly podcast, but whether that only happens once for 1 month remains to be seen. And then as soon as Kat and Catelyn can afford to move out of the trailer park, we expect them then to be saving up for airline tickets to be able to come across. Thank you to everyone who's here, who has attended our first live recording. I think that worked okay.
It wasn't quite as much of a shit show as it was.
It wasn't quite as bad as it could
It wasn't an abortion. So right, guys, give yourselves a round of applause.
And obviously they have fine taste as they voted 4-1 for me.
They didn't actually. You couldn't hear what they were saying.
Yeah. Anyway, so as I say, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from all of them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh,